Blog Talk Radio.
This is Busted Pencils Radio. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jed Hopkins. Now, let's bust some pencils. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Busted Pencils Fully Leaded Education Talk. Today is Sunday. It's April 19th. Me, I'm Dr. Tim Slecker, and once again, Dr. Jed Hopkins is not here. Actually, he's gardening tonight. So I don't know if that's a good excuse to allow Jed off, but if you have a problem, call Jed directly. I mean, you know, I'll give his number at the end of the evening. But look, great show tonight. It's opt-out season. Why not talk to United Opt-Outs, Peggy Robertson? In fact, this week, I know here in Wisconsin, I know in New York, I know in other states, began the week of the first week of Common Core testing. And as we found out, many people decided to make the opt-out decision. Now, making that decision to opt out, where does that come from? Whose ideas? Who had this idea? Why not take a test? I took a test. You took a test. We all took a test. What's the problem with kids taking tests? I mean, what are we afraid of? Afraid we're going to bruise their knees or something like that? I mean, they got to get up. They're going to be tested the rest of their lives. Well, these are some of the questions that plague the opt-out people. And so, again, as I said tonight, we're going to have United Opt-Outs, Peggy Robertson here. And, you know, I'm going to ask her the tough questions that people are afraid to ask. You know, we're gonna dig deep, and we're gonna pry back some of these onion layers to figure out what is at the heart of United Opt-Out. Where's their money come from? Where's the influence? Who's back there working for them behind doors, pulling strings? These are questions that people want to know, because the idea that a group of individuals from multiple states acting in some kind of collaborative organic network to move people across the country to say no to a simple test. There's a part of it, of reality there that just doesn't seem to add up. So I'm going to get Peggy on the line here. And I want to remind everybody, though, too, tonight, make sure you call in. You got a question? Tonight's the night. If you're worried about United Opt-Out, you've got Peggy Robertson on the line. Call-in number, just in case you want to remember, if you forget, if you're not looking at the computer the way you should be, it's 323-870-4076, 323-870-4076. That way you can talk to Tim and or Peggy, or both of us, on the Busted Pencils Radio Sunday night, Fully Leaded Education Talk. So I'm going to say, I think I'm talking to Peggy Robertson at this moment.
Hi, Tim.
It is Peggy Robertson. I can hear you. So, you know, Peggy, we want to get out there. This is the big week. A lot of opting out has been going on, particularly in New York. And I just want to read something to you from the New York Daily News. This comes out from the article in the New York Daily News .com, testing. Union organized opt-out campaign against Common Core exams protects teachers, not students. Now, according to, of course, this anonymous author, because we wouldn't want somebody like this to be revealed when they're going to go up against such a powerful organization as yours, but this person comes out and says, to hear unions and teachers tell it, New York's public school children face rough treatment, say something like waterboarding, on the start of the annual tests. Now, Peg, seriously, these are tests. What's your deal?
Oh, man. I tell you, these articles are killing me.
Well, first of all, how serious does that sound?
Well, it sounds very serious, you know. I mean, it's a great way to co-opt the opt-out movement, isn't it? You know, we've got the unions doing it to avoid teacher evaluation. It's more union bashing. Yeah, and that's not what this is at all.
Well, okay, so, you know, I put out some teaser questions there, you know, and I think, you know, let's lay them out there right now where we're going to go. We're gonna talk about your, and let's, you know, let's drop the secret now. Mine, I'm one of the co-founders with you, you know, with multiple other people, founders of United Opt Out. You know, we want to talk tonight. We want to reveal first the vast financial resources and the network of support that we have. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's important.
So I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. So I hope you came prepared with the list of all the financial backers. Okay.
Okay.
I want to talk about, you know, the issue of when is it that you decide that you yourself or the organization is going to back down from stance, particularly stands that deal with children. I mean, there's a time for every organization to have talking points, but the reality is that we know. Backing down is just part of what it means to be an organization supported by, you know, multiple dollars such as yours, by many, many backing funders who really want their voices heard, not the voices of kids and parents. And then the other thing I want to go after here, you know, rumor has it, United Opt Out has got some really interesting internal dynamic politics going on. And I'm just going to say it, particularly dealing with egos.
Ego. Okay.
Yeah. You know, so,
wow.
So if we can cover those three things again, you know, okay, so listener, if you're out there, you're listening to Tim, you're on Busted Pencils Radio, it's fully led education talk. I'm talking tonight with United Opt Out leader Peggy Robertson. Call in if you want, 323-870-4076 is the call-in number. But we're going to get right into this. So, Peg, the union. How much money have they given United Opt Out?
None. Absolutely none.
Wait. What?
I know. It's a shocker. None. Not a dime. Nothing. I mean, the only thing the union's even done for us is I think they retweeted one thing I tweeted this year. So that's the extent of their help in the last 4 years.
So you admit they help then?
Well, if you consider one retweet in 4 years helpful.
Hey. Well, I mean, considering how many people don't tweet, that's something.
I guess so. Yes, it's something. Yes, and I will say that there are folks getting on board right now. The unions are getting on board.
Well, I read five different articles this past week, you know, again, because United Opt Out has really hit as a movement, whether or not it's because of United Opt Out or something else, we can talk about that. But according to at least five different articles, this is a union movement. You know, I hear that all the time. It's a union movement, and United Opt Out has to be supported. You know, in fact, we would never be able to maintain ourselves as an organization without the support of the unions. And so you're actually claiming, and I'll put this in and know that, you know, I kind of know what you're talking about, but you're claiming that not only has there not been any money given to us by the unions, but collaborative work, and this is not a bad thing or a good thing, talking about the unions, but there's not been a big work of, you know, of joining forces, of meeting of the minds, of sitting down and having Coca-Colas, you know, sipping on the dock of some kind of sunset, talking to each other about the takeover of the new world or something like that. Nothing like that's happening.
Oh, no, nothing. And, you know, we've sent letters to the unions, and we don't ever get responses. So there's nothing.
Well, I want to let you know right now, I got somebody tweeting in right now saying, come on, Peg, you know NEA and AFT fully fund UOO.
Oh, God, I just love these. Yeah, I wish that, you know, we had all this funding, but we don't.
Okay,
but,
wait,
you know, Tim,
you have a website. You have a website.
I
have a website. I know that, you know, at a minimum, I know keeping up a website costs a couple bucks. I mean, how are you funding your website?
Oh, my gosh. Well, for the first couple years, I paid for most of it. A few folks chipped in. And then, gosh, when our website was destroyed, when was that, last spring? We set up a GoFundMe account, and all the parents who opt out and all the teachers who support opt out funded the rebuild of our website, which, once again, now we have to pay for on our own. So, it's been 4 years we've been doing this pretty much on our own, minus the wonderful help from the GoFundMe account and all the great parents who refuse to have their children take the tests.
Okay, what about Bill Gates? You know, I've got somebody out there who's afraid to call in is just, you know, is really going nuts on the Twitter. But, you know, what about
how
Gates?
Funny.
I mean, come on, Gates funds all of these AstroTurf groups, you know, and we know United Opt Out is really you got to have some kind of Gates money, right?
We don't have any Gates money. I mean, think about it. That's why our website never shows up in all these really important articles that are coming out lately. I mean, you see other websites show up. And you see other people mentioned, but we're not there. We're not showing up. We don't have any funding. So publicly we show up less, at least in mainstream.
All right,
media.
Maybe I'll let you go on this one and move on. So at this point you're claiming the resources, the funding, particularly funding. And now not just for the website, but for all the activities, the flights back and forth across America twice, you know, two or three times a week. First class, all that is being funded through GoFundMe, and you're even saying your own money? I mean, you're a teacher.
My own money. Yeah, the first 2 years, quite honestly, it was pretty brutal because, we were paying for everything on our own before the GoFundMe started supporting our conference and our website when it crashed. When it was destroyed.
You know, I do want to come in with a confession, though, and talk about some of the support that I've received being in United Opt Out. I've been out to Denver twice to work with you, and I have been put up at this posh hotel in Centennial.
Yes, that's right.
Called the basement of the Robertson's house on a futon next to a drum set. That is awesome. Now,
I know,
okay,
it's
so
really
there,
the best.
I've admitted it. Look, I mean, so you, when I come to Denver, you take care of making sure that I'm comfortable when I stay there.
I even have my boys set up the whole room for you.
The boys set up, and you have Rocky, your little chihuahua, sit on me and shake for hours.
That's right. Yep, I do
that.
I admit it.
All right, so now let's move on to that. So what about, though, compromise? Okay, compromise seems to be, you know, this issue that I've seen coming across here, and we talk about this. You know, at some point, any organization has to make a decision to say, you know, I think at this point we're gonna bend a little bit because we want to move forward. And so for United Opt Out to be in business for, you know, going on 5 years now as an organization, even though you claim you don't have deep pockets, but tell me about at least one instance where you've made a decision that was in the interest of the group and not in children.
Never. We don't compromise, Tim. We don't negotiate with children's lives. Ever.
Wait.
Ever, ever, ever.
That sounds like a line.
I know. It is our line. It's actually a line that we crafted very carefully to make sure people understand where we stand, even though people continue to come to us to see if we'll compromise. So we just say it again. We don't negotiate with children's lives. Every time you negotiate with a child's life, you settle for less for that child, period.
Okay, I'll move off of the really bad Stephen Colbert imitation as the fake antagonist and come at this one. But let's address this one because you point out something here that is interesting, and there's been some tension along the years occasionally where we have been asked to take on a position that we've either not been comfortable with or we've taken on positions that some that others have not found very appealing, and we've taken some heat for it. I mean, has that been wise? Do you think we should have compromised along the way somewhere here and there?
No, because look around. And I just, you know, I was just thinking about this today, and I put it on Facebook. Look around. Everyone compromises, and look where we stand now. How has it benefited us? It hasn't benefited us at all. Every time somebody makes a compromise, it sets us back years. So they know this. You know, they know that they can keep plugging along and they can keep chipping away because their children aren't being harmed. They aren't being harmed. They've got all the time in the world. So every time we make a compromise, whatever that compromise may be, it sets us back years. So that's why we don't negotiate ever.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's an admirable, but some might, you know, and again, some people could come back, you know, and really rational people could look at that and say, you know, at some point, Peg, Tim, and the rest of the, you know, your multi-million-dollar friends, you know, this no compromising is going to cause an issue that might, you know, break the group down, take it apart.
Oh, sure. I mean, people say that, but this is the thing. While everyone's scurrying around, compromising, we're keeping our eye on the ball. And honestly, because of that, it's helping people inch forward, take more risks, create more acts of civil disobedience that would allow us to get the biggest prize of all. And not just, you know, let's say, grade span testing. It's not just, you know, taking down inch by inch. We're looking at protecting children from poverty. We're looking at equitable funding for all schools. And I'm not willing to go out and act like these other little pieces are enough. We have to come out and keep our eye on the big prize. And so I think that's our role as UOO. That's our job.
Okay. So maybe we'll put it out there this way then. So that's the role of UUO.
It is. And I think the other piece of it is this. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to say, in one way, I think about this, though, you know, okay, that's what we've decided to carve out as saying that's where we're gonna draw a line, you know, particularly on children and different things like that. But other people in this fight who are genuinely in this fight, and we know they are, who are making those inch movements to help us get there. I mean, that's a beneficial thing, though, too. So, I mean, that was one of the other things I read in there. It was this was a really crappy article talking about the internal fighting of the people fighting the reform movement. And that's why I actually threw out that little fake thing about the internal egos of United Opt Out. But I mean, the fight against education reform is not just United Opt Out. I mean, it is a group of, you know, the unions are right now seem to be stepping up in favor of opt out, correct?
Correct.
All right.
I think you're right. I mean, everybody has a
role
here. Everybody has a role, and I think our role at UOO has always been to keep it true and pure and focused on the absolute end goal, which is why when we formulate actions, we always look at how is that action going to get us toward our end goal and have the greatest impact? That's just our job. But it doesn't mean that, you know, in any way to take away the work of everyone else, because those are equally as important. But I just think for us, that's where we stand. And I think it's benefited us over the years. And I think that is the reason we have been able to form so many relationships to get so many folks across the country to support opt-out. I mean, part of our job is the one-on-one talking with these parents. We've been building relationships for close to 5 years now, and so many groups have taken off all on their own. I mean, ultimately, we've just been the catalyst.
Right. Well, and, you know, go back to the union just to mention. I mean, we've got, what, 5 or 4 union members in the, you know, the what you would call the directors of United Opt Out positions?
Right, myself included.
Wait, you're in the union?
I am in the union.
Okay, that might change everything now, the way I might have to go back with on these questions, because, okay, no, right, I mean, we are, some of us have, so, you know, so you look at the directors of United Opt Out, and I would say you look at the membership, you know, how many teachers who have joined United Opt Out over the 4 years, how many teachers have joined, you know, Long Island Opt Out, New York Opt Out, Orlando Opt Out, Washington Opt Out, you know, Wisconsin Opt Out, Milwaukee Opt Out. There's teachers and there are union members in there. And so one of the things that I think that, and I would put this the other way, there are, you know, trolls out there purposely trying to pit United Opt Out against the unions at sometimes when that's convenient. Right now, the biggest thing they seem to really be wanting to do, though, is connect United Opt Out and the unions, because, and this is, for me, this is the biggest issue here, is because the idea that, you know, if you go back to the origins of United Opt Out, Seresta Smith, Peggy Robertson, Morna McDermott, Lori Smith, Tim Slecker, Sean Johnson, you know, a website, Skype calls, the idea that we could do this, you know, and as you said, funding the website out of mostly your back pocket. I occasionally send her some money when I can, but look, I got two kids and my wife stays at home, so, you know, but, you know, this idea that a group could actually accomplish that, right now the co-opting tactic by the reformers is to now say that opt-out is a union movement. You know, it's just not possible that it could be an organic grassroots movement.
Right, right. And, you know, that's the other thing to think about. I think part of the reason we don't show up anywhere is because to know that this is a movement that is not funded by anyone, that this is a grassroots movement of parents, teachers, students, citizens all across the country doing this because they know the truth, they have heart, they're doing it because they care about kids, that is a dangerous thing. That's a really dangerous thing. And it would be much easier to think that folks weren't working independently on their own, right? It would be easier to think that we were all just following along. But the truth is, this is us, grassroots, on our own, without anybody's help but our own ability to build community with one another. That's what we've done.
Well, in fact, I mean, I want to go back, you know, Diane Ravitch highlighted Steve Nelson's, I think it was about a Huffington Post, the original piece was, but Steve Nelson's opt out to save democracy. And, I mean, you know, Steve puts it out there. Let's just read one of the paragraphs here. Fed up by the dreadful experiences their children are having in school, parents and teachers are beginning to resist. In New Jersey, Illinois, and New York, for example, the opt-out movement is gaining strength. A national organization called United Opt-Out is working tirelessly to unite the many strands of what he calls, and I believe, and we know this to be true, a genuine grassroots movement.
Right. That's exactly it. That's it.
You know, we should acknowledge that we put up a GoFundMe account to pay Steve for writing that article, though, right?
Yes, of course. That's right.
And Steve, we know you're listening. As soon as that account actually gets some money in it, maybe we'll send you a couple bucks. However, the website bills keep coming in, so we may have to redirect it towards the website or something like that. No, but I mean, so Steve's article really points this out, Steve Nelson. But talk, you know, the importance of the idea of making this movement, you know, first, now, you know, at first it was, You're an AstroTurf movement who's funded by unions, you know, okay, now you're not. Now this movement is a union movement that has no grassroots to it, you know, so,
right.
You know, the co-opting just continues, and I think you're right, and Steve hits it here too, because the actual issue here is that, let's go back to the title that Diane put in here. I mean, opt-out is, you know, it's to save democracy.
Exactly. It's to save democracy. I mean, the public schools are the
cornerstone
of our democracy.
Are we inflating ourselves way beyond the picture, though, when we say something like that?
No, we're not. I mean, this is what this is about. I think this is the reason the opt-out is so powerful, because people are awake and they recognize that without public schools, we will not have democracy. That's a huge wake-up call. And that's a huge wake-up call that instills in everyone this fire to move forward and figure out how, without any funding, how, without any sort of backing, you can fight this. Well, opt out. That's it. And it's working. It's working, which is why everyone is trying to co-opt it right now, because it's a very, very dangerous thing for the citizens of our country to stand up and say, we are so done, and we know we can win it through this. Everyone is scrambling. I mean, it's like you said, the co-optation is everywhere. They want us to simmer down and just be sheeple. It's not going to happen.
Well, that's the part of it, you know, and I wrote a small little piece that Diane highlighted, too, where I kind of made fun of the media this week for trying to take down the movement, because it's absolutely evident now that this is, as you said, they, whoever, you know, whoever we talk in theys and pronouns, but they, the reformers and their movement and their big deep pocket monies and vast networks of underground, you name it, okay, somehow this you know, this group, not just us, but then through the hard work of all the different people in the states, all the different teachers in the states, all, you know what, and yes, all of the union members and even some of the union leadership that has been actively endorsing and or trying to motivate this movement threatens and scares the hell out of these people. And so, of course, this week it's a grassroots, you know, it's an AstroTurf group. You know, you're hurting kids. And that's the other line. So let's address this as we come down. You know, what about somebody who says, look, Peg, Tim, when you do this, the kids who need the most help will never know who they are?
Oh, my God. You know, how long are we going to go on with this line? I mean, this is going on for, what did you say, was it 35 years of testing that tells us again and again the exact same thing? It tells us where
right.
our children in poverty are living. We know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Paul Thomas is one of my favorite people to point this out, and just the way he writes about it all the time. So, and Paul, I'm giving you a plug, so check out Paul Thomas's Becoming Radical. And then also just remind everybody, the listener right now, even though we're getting to the end, this is Tim minus Jed, who's gardening, but this is Tim on Busted Pencils, Fully Lettered Education Talk, and this is United Opt-Out's Peggy Robertson. And we still do have time, if you're brave out there, to call in at 323-870-4076. But, Peg, you know, we think about it, the movement and the fear out there by the reformers here that is clearly evident this week as opt-out numbers, you know, in New York particularly, you know, are hitting percentages that are going to create some real difficulties when you go to apply some of the nasty type of punishments that are attached to test and punish, which don't work. And as you said, we'll go back to Paul Thomas. I mean, the achievement gap, just so people understand, and to go back to that question I asked you, how will we ever know when certain students aren't doing well or not? Well, it's like, well, we always did know. Now, I'll admit this. Whether or not we've had the fortitude to do anything about it, that could be something we could be talking about. But I'm here. But now let's talk about the opt-out movement and its push. We now have 30 years, and we now have 15 hardcore years of test and punish reform that shows that if we're worried about the kids at the bottom of the achievement gap, that test and punish is a failed mechanism for making that movement. And so the civil rights movement of the day being a test and then attaching punishments to teachers, parents, and kids and their schools to move up that to help that child, okay, let's recognize this is, if that's your idea of civil rights, you've got a real issue here, because the most or, you know, I'll get biblical, the least among us are the ones who are supposed to be first, but in a punish and, you know, reward and punish network, the least among us are the ones who get it first.
Exactly.
Get the pain first. They don't get what they need first. So we go back to this and we say, yeah, you know, I'm editorializing a little bit, taking a little opportunity. It's my show, damn it, and I can here. But, you know, let's really be honest now and say, look, opt-out, it's powerful, it's working. And what I think one of the biggest fears that has come out and what is showing is that when people realize, the public, when this is when opt-out is going to be successful, because as we've said, Peg, this is not an anti-testing movement, okay? It's not about testing.
Right.
It's about it is, as Steve Nelson talks about, democracy. It is about citizen participation. It is about looking at the true structures that cause kids to have problems in school, okay? When opt-out is successful, it's when the public themselves recognizes that using high-stakes tests in a punishment mechanism that hurts kids, schools, teachers, and communities is not the mechanism for making things better. That invalidates the whole reform movement, and they are scared to death about that.
They are, because people are looking around and they're saying, wait a minute, just as you said, this test and punishment system is not helping kids learn more. It's not protecting our kids from poverty. It's not allowing our schools to thrive and be democratic communities. People see that. They see it. And you're right. We are very, very dangerous.
Well, I think when we say we, let's broaden that we out there. Anybody who now has moved into the opt-out movement in some way, shape, or form, whether you're directly opting out a child, whether you're giving advice to somebody about opting out, whether you're encouraging your neighbor to take a look at United Opt Out's website, that's what keeps this movement going, and that's what keeps it grassroots, and that's what really keeps people, the reformers, frightened. And I see this week the recognition of, look, when true democracy, when true people get together and say no and make a movement and finally say, you know what, I've had enough, okay, let's recognize, and you and I will both, and everybody in United off that, yes, there are kids, and we have a horrendous achievement gap in this country, and it's largely racially divided, and a lot of that has absolutely everything to do with the socioeconomic conditions in which things are created. If we're going to start holding anybody accountable at this point right now, because I think us as teachers, as educators, as parents, our job is to be responsible to do what we can do as best as we can. But as for accountable for the absolute horrendous conditions in which American children now live, look, sorry, and this is what I was talking to you when I was out there in Denver a couple days ago. When we truly want to have an accountability system, that accountability system will shine light at where the problems are, and people don't want that light shine right there, because that will then expose the socioeconomic programs that we have in place that absolutely keep people poor and reward other people to keep people down and reward the wealthy, as Bernie Sanders keeps reminding us, the 1% to stay, and you know, this plutocracy that we've now morphed into. And you know, whether we win or not, the idea that we've frightened people this week is enough. And if you're listening to the show, please keep it up to keep moving, because look, we can do it. Peg?
Exactly. And I think what you're saying, this whole idea of opt-out, who does opt-out include? It includes anyone that's talking about it in any shape or form. And we have a section on our website that talks about that. There are many ways to opt-out. So, yeah, keep moving forward. Keep having action-oriented steps as you take this down, because it's working.
It's working. Hey, Peg, I've got the show. It's typically a half hour. I book it for 45 minutes. We got a caller on the line. So you're not, you know, unless dinner's burning, you want to take a caller?
Sure.
All right, let's see. As far as I can tell, caller, you're on. Hello, how are you?
Hey, Tim. This is Cindy Hamilton in Orlando.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey, Cindy Hamilton in Orlando. Way to give up who you are. So you're a real person with the name Cindy Hamilton. So what's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about accountability earlier, and something I wanted to share with you that we've been doing at Opt Out Orlando is as an organization, as a group, we, through this legislative session, we watch our legislators in action, for lack of a better word. And it's been a great awareness
being
tool
inactive.
For us.
You watch them being inactive in action.
Yeah, yeah. Meaning they're not doing anything for our kids. So, you know, I feel similar to what I've seen Peg state publicly, in that we're not waiting for our legislators to give us permission to opt out. But one of the tools that we've used is to get our parents more aware of their power in the vote. And we watched our legislators this session, because they broadcast live. So we watched the K-12 Education Committee as a group last week, or the last week of active debate. We had 45 people watching live and commenting about what they were seeing. We had over 1,000 comments on a Facebook thread. And it's been a really valuable tool for us to develop the awareness in our members, in the fact that their legislators don't represent their families. And we heard the word opt out dozens of times on the floor of our Senate this year. They talked about students walking out and not taking the tests, and we're developing a great base of awareness and voters who are going to never vote the same way again. And you know, holding out the decision makers accountable for the decisions that they're not making, and in regards to passing legislation that they thought was a big forward move, and yet they left all of the high stakes attached to the people in the institution of public education. I think it's important that those involved in the opt-out movement be aware of what is not happening at the state levels. And you know, they think that they are, you know, they're going to look in the next 2 years at these candidates and stick to the issues that were important to them before. And they, you know, I'm an education voter, and if you can't satisfy my list of terms, then you don't get my vote. And for us in Florida, it's been very powerful. Our legislators know we're here. They know what the opt-out movement is, and they're aware that it's going to impact them in the next cycle of elections. So
you know,
that's all
I'm
wanted
to
say.
Yeah, I tell you what you said was absolutely amazing. I'm going to thank you for calling. I'm going to let you go. Peg and I are going to talk a little bit about what you said, but what to me, and have a great Sunday night, Cindy, and thanks for calling, and we will talk again soon, I am sure.
Absolutely. Take care, Cindy.
So,
yeah,
Peg,
you know
what I...
Yes.
Go ahead. To me, she said something that I really... What about this move? I'm an education voter.
Oh, I love that. I love it. I love it. And I'm
hearing
other people say that too.
Okay, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an education voter. What the heck? First of all, that would send chills up my spine if I'm predicting votes knowing party.
Right. Right. And you know, I've been watching Facebook, and other people are saying that. They're saying, look, nope. You're out. I'm an education voter. If you don't say what I want to hear in terms of equitable funding and so forth and so on, you don't have my vote. What I think is fascinating about that is I do believe, as Cindy said, they're beginning to listen. And I think the voters are realizing that they have power with voting this way. There's still a ton of arrogance out there. I won't deny that that's not there. But I think that this particular legislative session, we have definitely made headway. I know here in Colorado we have, even though, you know, right now they're just scrambling, you know, doing honestly nothing that at this point is going to help us. But I think that for the future, this concept of the education voter is excellent. I love it. I think we have a lot of power with that.
Yeah, I like that. In fact, you know, I'm thinking about this one, you know, before I ask you the last and hardest question, I want to keep people in thinking about that. You know, what if we, you know, all the opt-out movement could move people in that direction to say, you know, well, you know, are you Republican or Democrat? And instead your answer is, no, I'm an education voter.
Excellent.
Holy, can you imagine? I mean, you know, and in fact, I want to have a show specifically about this. I mean, Hillary came out and announced, and, you know, of course, people are like, well, she automatically gets the union vote. She automatically gets the teacher vote. And you know what? I don't think anybody automatically gets anything. And if you particularly announce yourself as an education voter, Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's currently running for anything right now, I ask you, and I know you're out there listening because, you know, most legislators, whether they be state and or national, listen to Busted Pencils Radio. When you're out there right now, just start asking people, are you a, don't worry about if I'm a Democrat or a Republican. You better wonder if I'm an education voter because that's the real issue and that's what's coming. So, Peg, now last question, though. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Internally,
mm-hmm.
you got you, Morna McDermott, Seresta Smith, Ruth Rodriguez, Denisha Jones, Michael Pena, Tim Slucker. Am I missing any? I'm not missing anybody, right?
Rosemary Jensen.
There, you know, it was in, we've seen it in Us Magazine, we've seen it in The Enquirer. What's the reality between the hatred of all of you?
Oh,
internally,
God.
There's no way. I mean, there's no way that such a group can hang together and actually like each other.
I know. Crazy. There's no infighting. We get along. We're like a family. They don't want to hear that. That's dangerous.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just thinking. So I was trying to actually put that out there to take it away from the reformers to come at us with their next attack, which would be, you know, to see one of us on the front of Inquirer, you know, Peggy Robertson and Tim Slucker mail death threats to each other in the evening, you know, and stuff like that. Hey, guys, guess what? We beat you to it. We don't send death threats to each other. We do what we always do. We have Facebook. We talk through instant messaging on Facebook to each other. We use social media tools to talk to each other in the evenings, particularly Monday nights. And we know those of you that out there that are on Monday nights that are hacking us and listening to us, you already know what we talk about on Monday nights. But it's great to hear from you, Peg. It sounds, you know, I think we had a nice opportunity to set the record, whatever the record is, a little bit straight for what United Opt Out is and what United Opt Out is doing and where they stand and what they're going to continue to do. And I say they, it's a we. And let's talk about we as you out there, too, the listener. You know, are you an opt out or are you part of United Opt Out? Because although the names mentioned might be the people that are, you know, on websites, as we just had Cindy from Orlando, Opt-Out Orlando, okay? Look, Opt-Out Orlando, it was formed by, guess what, people in Orlando who decided to
That's
get
right.
together as a grassroots group of people. So, Peg, thank you for this evening. What a great night. And, again, I want to thank you, though, too, for putting me up in the posh Robertson Hotel in Denver.
You are welcome. You are welcome. It was
fun. It was great talking to you tonight as well. Yeah, it was the best 3 hours of sleep I ever had.
Well, I believe it. I believe it. I'm glad.
It was. Well, hey, Peg, we will talk soon, and keep up the fight, and do not compromise.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, Tim.
All right, and keep busting those pencils. So, hey, the show, we're going to close out here this evening. It was a great conversation. Just remember, though, that check us out on the web. You want to go to bustedpencils.com. You want to follow us two ways on Twitter. You can either follow us at Busted Pencils, or you can follow us, or you can follow me at Slacker. Still haven't got Jed to get a Twitter account yet. We'll get him going. Okay, Instagram is Busted Pencils Official, and make sure that you are, if you're interested in receiving our trending news twice a week, that you go to bustedpencils.com and hit subscribe, okay? Hit subscribe, get it going. So until then, though, we want to make sure that you just keep busting pencils.